Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Work Group 1, looking at statutory terms and provisions under the Information Blocking Task Force. Have a full agenda today, but why don't we go ahead and start with a roll call. Andy Trescott?
Present.
Michael Adcock? Carol Turney?
Present.
John Kansky?
Here.
Perfect. Denny McComb? And Cynthia Fisher?
Present.
Great. All right, I will turn it over to our co-chairs to get us started.
Thanks very much, Lauren. Denny, just for the record, Denny did say that she felt she probably couldn't make this meeting this morning. Personally, I think that we probably had quite a lot of information blocking going through our cerebral cortex over the last 2 days. But it's good to be back on phone with everybody focused upon the particular area that we have. I'm contemplating that for this one, rather than walking through the agenda, we should actually go straight into the workgroup Google Doc and start working from there, because we do have some sort of drafting that we can start throwing rocks at and prodding as a team. Does that work for John, Cynthia, Cheryl?
Yes.
Okay. So, Mark, thanks for bringing that up. We can see it, so you've got it on the right monitor. Can you scroll to the bottom of this section, or we'll just literally start reading the proposal? And as I've pulled everything together, what Mark and I have looked to do is split it into three sections. One is a discussion, and this is the discussive text that we'll put in our letter of transmittal to initially HITAC and then eventually to ONC. This is a summary of discussions that we've been having. These are our thoughts and what we're thinking we should be trying to achieve. We then got a recommendation for the entirety of the regulatory text. And then we've also got a recommendation for any updates to the preamble. Now, with the regulatory text proposal, I've actually put in the entire thing. So rather than saying, well, update line 4 to include this and line 17, have you thought about that? We're actually saying, look, this is what we think the text should say. And in some places, there's more change than others. And you'll see probably coming out of other work groups, some of these will have a greater degree of proposed change for various reasons. And they're all good reasons, obviously. In the preamble recommendation, it's a little bit more intricate, in that rather than just regurgitating the entire preamble, which wouldn't really be helpful, we're looking to say, okay, a statement saying, look, this is what we think you should add to the preamble, or if needs be, replace the entire preamble with this, or remove this stuff from the preamble, whatever. So that's a little bit more intricate. The discussion is obviously just the lay of the land around what we've been talking about. Does that make sense to people?
Yes.
Yep, thanks. Cynthia, Cheryl, you good with that approach?
Yeah, I think I got it. But...
Cool. Mark, can you zoom in a bit so we can actually, there's a bit larger on everyone's screens.
Yeah, I have it at 150. Yeah. Let me go 200, see if is that any better?
Yep, thanks. So just scroll up a bit so we can just see the discussion. Okay, so this, trying to summarise, When we present this to the full HITAC, I fully intend to have a slide of facts and figures at the beginning that just goes through and says, you know, 172, that's the number of hours we've spent on calls. About 390, that's the number of hours we've actually, between us all, spent on thinking about this stuff, all that kind of stuff. Because there's a lot of thinking, trying to get down to what we said, three paragraphs of discussion. Even though we are largely okay with the definition of this, for this particular piece we're looking at around EHI, I still think it's important that ONC actually sees that we've discussed it and we've considered it, and we have a thoughtful approach. Make sense? I'm looking. I'm not going to take tacit agreement on this. I'm looking for like, yes, we get it, Andy.
Yes, we get it, Andy.
Thank you, John.
Okay, I agree.
Okay, thank you. And if you want to change this, then tell me that too, because we can change. It's not a complete dictatorship.
I'm just a little delayed in getting it up on my screen, so I have my printout, so I was in transit, so that's why you're having me hold back, but I'll catch up.
Okay, no worries. Okay. Okay, so if we just literally, I intend to just read through the discussion points together, unless people would like to read it in silence and then say okay or nay. It's your call on this.
I'm an auditory learner, so I'd love to be read to.
Jack and Ori. Okay. Do you guys have Jack and Ori in this country?
No.
Oh, okay. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay. It's a children's TV program when I was growing up where you used to have a story read to you. Okay. Anyway, so the work
group believes... So it is amazing how English and English, you know? I'm a little slow on the pickup, so, you know.
So I'm basically the wrong person to be reading this, but unless anyone else is going to offer, I'm going to. Okay. So the discussion point. The work group believes that this definition of electronic health information covers the breadth of data which requires addressing within the regulations. We recommend some slight modifications to language to cover both current and future tenses, bracket, can versus could, bracket, to address where discrete data may not identify an individual, however, in an aggregate, it may. An additional minor update would be to be clear that we are not seeking to promote a reduction in the payment of transactions which take place for a particular use of a singular payment. We are desiring that information for all payments be covered within this definition. To this end, pluralizing payment to payments. In addition, we do think that making it clear that information that could be, it's not very well drafted, who did this? In addition, we do think that making it clear that information, in quotes, could be that is human readable, e.g. narrative text captured within clinical notes, and, quote, machine readable, e.g. codified information using terminologies or classifications such as LOINC, SNOMED-CT, CPT, ICD, are specifically covered to prevent ambiguity, and this should be updated within the preamble.
So, Andy, we're basically saying, though, that we're focusing and limiting this on, you know, information, and because I've already asked the question, would this also cover things like, you know, tumor sections and things of that nature that are not machine readable, of course, but it would provide information. And originally, the guidance that I received when I asked several members of the ONC was, you know, it shouldn't be limited to just data type of information. But now we're limiting it to data type information. That's what we're recommending, right? That's what you're saying here, right? And again, I was asking just for clarification purposes.
I was cutting you off there. Please continue.
No, I mean, I'm just asking because as we get into things where we're doing, you know, sort of AI prototyping and there's, you know, models that are being made and there's information that can be gleaned from all of that, and it's not data type of information. So do we really want to limit it to that scenario? I mean, I don't know if that's what we want to do.
I understand what Cheryl's saying because, you know, like Google has a whole application on looking at slides, you know, from cuts and basically being able, you know, on imaging side that is more machine
which AI in the future will be much, much different than, you know, human scanning and imaging and perhaps even improved upon. So we look at, I think what we had discussed, Andy, earlier was that, in Cheryl's point, is inclusive of but not limited to as we know it today. You know, I think we want to make sure we prevent the American Stagecoach Society saying that a train can no longer go, if a new train comes out, that it looks like a horse and it only goes as fast as a horse, right? So, you know, if we had the Stagecoach Association of America, what trains, you know, and our future transportation might have been very strictly limited. So I'm just throwing out that crazy example.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, Cynthia. That's exactly what I was saying. I mean, I know that's what our focus is right now, but I'm just trying to think down the road. And, you know, there's things that breathalyzers where you basically blow into something that's on your, connected to your phone or can look inside your ear or takes your temperature or any of those things. Yes, there's information that's transmitted to data, but there may be other information that is the actual event that's occurring and statistics about that as well. I mean, I don't know that we want to just limit it to information itself.
I think, Andy, the tighter we define it is danger. And I also think I'm a little confused. In addition, I support Cheryl on her comments. I think if we say can be as we see it today, inclusive of. And then I would even argue from a machine readable standpoint that text is also readable for searchability, right, and aggregation and terminology. So I guess, you know, the intent is that we look at whatever is in the clinical record, that it can be also analyzable. You know, for instance, so many test results, if they're in a PDF, it does you no good if you're looking at trends over time, and patients really want to have that at their fingertips. And I think the other thing that I'm a little confused about is the past tense, future tense can and coulds that are in this document. It's just, where are we going with that? That's just confusing to me.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to update this to say, you know, our intent is that this should be a very broad definition of electronic health information to cover eventualities which are not yet even dreamt of, but also including things like imaging and information received from other modalities. Is that I think just trying to summarize?
Not limited to.
Yeah.
You don't want to either like narrow and say,
yeah,
okay, well now we're in this whole new world, but we're not held accountable. You know what I'm saying? We're not, so.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That was what you're writing, Andy.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. This is Mark. I think it's a great conversation. Can I just ask, like, because the way I look at the definition, it seems pretty broad to me. What's tripping you up that is not broad enough? Because that's what's kind of confusing me about the suggestion in the reg text.
Well, if you scroll down to it, Mark, so we can actually look at the rev text together, that's below.
Yeah,
that's the actual
rev text. The original one, yeah. Hold on.
No. Go to the one that we're proposing, because then we can have the discussion points. Just go back down to it.
All right,
there. There we are. So, Cheryl, Cynthia, if you take a look at this, I'm updating the discussion text, but to Mark's point, this seems pretty broad.
But what you were showing us was what to me seemed to narrow it somewhat. That's why
showing was a summary of our discussions, and I've updated that right now to include the summary of the discussion we've just had, which is like we need to make sure this is broad.
Right, because in the beginning, as I said, to what was in ResTech, I did ask the question, was this intended to include like DNA results and things like that, where over time there's going to be more science and they'll be able to learn more from the same blood sample? And the answer was yes. And it just seemed to me that what we were reviewing this morning seemed to narrow that. That's the only reason why I asked.
No, absolutely. that first set of paragraphs I read out was purely summary of discussions that we've had. The DNA thing, I must confess, I didn't call that out specifically because I felt it was handled in just a general definition of information. I do think the imaging type information and the other type, telemetry type information, that is something we haven't really touched upon, and I will update the discussion text to include that.
Okay, I'm on track now.
Okay.
I just want to say inclusive but not limited to, you know, because it leaves it open to be broader than we can identify today with imaging, you know. And with imaging, they might say, well, isn't your radiology report good enough? Like, why do we need to have the image available to the patient, you know? But the reality is the images waste a lot of productive employment time chasing them down, and then they don't work when they're on a CD to be uploaded and blah, blah, blah. But that being said, I think we're looking at the future of empowerment of the patient. And is there any way that we can highlight in the recommendation of the text that we can see as a committee here what has been changed from the original definition of electronic health information?
No, we can put them side by side and that's it.
Could we color it? Could you highlight it? Could you like make it?
You could like underline it probably. Can you underline the changes, Andy?
No, because, well, this one's actually pretty straightforward. I've just underlined it.
That's the only change, the word could?
Well, I'm having to go through immediate all now myself. I've been trying to summarize everything so that we can actually start putting together the recommendations. I'll just put that. There's a reasonable basis to, on a second, believe could use to identify the individual and is transmitted by or maintained electronic media that relates to the past, present, or future health or condition of individual or patient health to individual or the past, which could be claimed. Yeah, that's it. Only the bits which are underlined.
Hey, Andy. Andy, it's John. This comment may land with a thud, but why is that entire phrase necessary? The after the comma, or with respect to which there's a reasonable basis to believe the information could be used to identify the individual. What does that
Thank
do?
Thank you, John. Thank you. I don't understand it. Why it's in there? Because I just like you. Thank you. I was going to ask the third one.
Okay, because. Just because a piece of data doesn't say this is Andy Truscott who lives at 515 Island Spring Court, Spring, Texas, on it, does not mean that Andy Truscott could not be identified from it. Now, because it's coming into a mark. You're a lawyer, legal beagle. You could help.
So
it's coming into the burden of curriculum. Oh, go on, Brian.
Sorry. This is Morris. I'm sorry. The language came directly from the definition of protected health information. That's where it was derived from. And the notion is that if a piece of data is not identifiable, but collectively various pieces to a reasonable person could reconstruct that information to make it identifiable, that was the notion behind that phrase. There's a reasonable basis that a reasonable person could identify who that individual is, and
let's go why that actually was in even in that definition of protected information. It's because combinatorially I can actually start identifying people even though the original data set might not have been as explicitly identifiable as you think. So increasingly, it's becoming ever more and more straightforward to do combined data sources and identify the health information of the individual from them.
Okay, guys, could I just get us back to Cures Act on this definition? If you read the actual Cures Act, Cures Act says health information essentially in the Act, not protected health information. So
yep.
Cures Act actually defines the different buckets, And in Cures Act, it talks about, it defines electronic health information much broader. And it basically says it should be broad and not limited to the identifiable information. And so it, you know, it, the Cures Act is broader than the HIPAA protected health information definition. And it applies to entities that are not covered entities under HIPAA. And it applies to data that goes beyond protected health.
I'm sorry, right. Where's the definition of EHI in Cures? It refers to it a lot, but it doesn't define it.
There's nothing in the legislation itself. I sent in some bullet points that we've researched this, that the EHI should be limited to the individually identifiable information. Congress actually used the term health information in the broad sense, not individually identifiable health information and not protected health information. And if they wanted to limit it to identifiable information, they would have used the other terms because they were already identified.
Okay, so let's get you would say that the nature of how a CTI operation, how a CTI procedure works, that is electronic health information within the terms of 21st Century Cures.
Okay, so I'm an outsider, so you have to help me. CTI.
An X-ray. Let's just call it an X-ray. How an X-ray procedure works, would you say that comes under health information?
Yeah, and the health information definition is broader, and protected health would be under that, but it's not limited to that. It's not limited to protected health. Congress made it in a much broader definition of the term and had the references to the already standing definitions that were in HIPAA.
Sorry to interrupt.
I'm just putting that out there.
Well, I just wanted to, I pulled up a slide, not to spoiler alert for some of the presentation we're going to be doing tomorrow, but I pulled a slide from the information blocking presentation that Michael Pinsky and I did on Tuesday. And this kind of is a pretty clear diagram that shows kind of how we came about our definition of electronic health information. I think it might be helpful for this conversation. Can you all see that? Is it big enough?
Yeah, well, make it larger. But yeah, so the point is that Congress is a amorphous thing which changes over time. But you're right, the PHSA had already defined health information. And so we're building on top of that.
Put me in the queue, Andy.
I just don't understand why it has to go all the way into the protected health information area, because the whole bit is patients getting access, right? Remember what the purpose of this is you want patients to get access to information.
We're just using EPHI, but we're not. It's not limiting. It's a broader definition, as you can see in the definition of EHI. It starts with protected health information, but then it says and, so it's broader than that.
And to put a finer point on what Mark is talking about, we're not just talking just a HIPAA definition. As you know, HIPAA only applies to covered entities and business associates. This definition applies to other entities that includes EPHI. So it's not just a limited to HIPAA. It's a broader context than that.
So Andy, I have a comment when this thread is done. Maybe that's now. So I have a slightly different point that I want to make back to that clause on or with respect to which there is a reasonable basis to believe the information can be used to identify the individual. That's from HIPAA, because HIPAA's purpose was to protect a patient's information, and so it was important not to leave the loophole that there was a reasonable basis to be able to identify the patient from. So you can't share that information, HIPAA is protecting it, because you might be able to identify the patient from it. So it was adding that to the definition to protect the patient from sharing. In information blocking, now we're trying to protect the industry, including the patient, from a lack of sharing. Is there really a problem where the industry is refusing to share information that doesn't identify the patient but could?
Yes.
I think what Cynthia is supposing is actually saying, hang on, with 21st century cures, Congress is trying to broaden this out again. I think she's implying, I don't want to put too many words in your mouth, I'm trying to take this forward. You're implying that with what had been done in HIPAA, what we've done inside PHSA, there's actually been a narrowing of lowercase p protected health information, which was unfortunate and inappropriate, and Congress is seeking to broaden it out again.
May I give you a couple of examples?
Go ahead.
As we move into the future, you could imagine that a patient may want from that electronic health information, relevant information to manage their health themselves, right? So you may be able to look at something that would be individually identifiable to the patient as part of the record. But you could also look to a link on looking at them in comparison to a population base, or comparison to, you could look at data that's provided along with that patient in their health management that's part of their electronic health record, right? So you could provide them, for instance, if you looked at their reports, not just whether they're in range, but you could, you know, as we move into the future, say social determinants, or we look into the future on type 1 diabetes, I don't know. I can't give you a specific right now, but I'm thinking combining research applicable, say the optimal information you may want to Google, right? Have from literature search, and that may be AI aggregated, and the patient would be well informed of where they are in range that may change their behavior patterns, right, to help.
Yeah,
right?
No, I understand the potential applications of the data. What I'm trying to grasp is, so like I don't know why this is the first, So information that could be reasonably used to identify the patient. So let's say that there's a dermatologist who's taken a photograph of a rash, and inside that photograph is a birthmark. The photograph is being used for academic training purposes with the permission of the patient. And I guess theoretically you might be able to identify the patient from that birthmark. That sounds like a ridiculous example, but now we're saying that when that provider is asked to share data, how in the heck are they supposed to find, recognize, know that photograph with the birthmark in it is part of what needs to be shared? Now, if that example seems ridiculous, make that a little bit more practical in terms of data sets which have been, air quoted, de-identified, but someone might challenge the fact that the inclusion of that patient's data in that data set after removing certain identifiers is still, there's a reasonable chance that they could be re-identified from that. So what we're saying with this law is, by using this, putting that in the definition of electronic health information, is you are breaking federal regulation if you don't share that information when requested. But what even is that information?
Well, isn't it?
And I'll go one step further. What Cynthia's supposing is it doesn't matter that there's an identifying birthmark in there. The fact is it's health information, because it's information about health.
We're asking that the entities share the health information, and it can be matched in a broader sense. And the other part of it is getting to pricing, right? Because also when you look at pricing, you may have pricing information that's identifiable to an individual, and you may have pricing at the point of care that's not identifiable to the individual. So there might be another center that can do it at a tenth of the cost, and they'll take cash, or whatever the modality is, or optimal. But you just, if you look at part of
authorization or pricing. I think Les gave a really great example about how we could catapult this novelty by, you know, the patient, him or herself, have their summary plan, have that all circumvented, right? And, you know, we got to move to, and if we get entangled in our underwear where it sort of says, identifies the individual with respect to which there is reasonable basis to believe that information could be used to identify the individual, I think it's just confusing entanglement where at the end of the sentence, it already says for the provision of health care to an individual.
Cynthia, I think you and I violently agree for two different reasons, but it doesn't matter because we agree. All that phrase does is makes the regulation harder to understand, harder to implement, harder to comply with, and harder to enforce.
I agree.
While there's a minute of quiet, I just want to speak to the issue of congressional intent. And I guess we were trying to kind of abide by what we viewed as congressional intent, because as I showed on the diagram, Congress had already defined health information. So then what we did is we looked at, you know, we're dealing with electronic health information. So then we looked at HIPAA for definition of EPHI and electronic media, and then we kind of use those existing definitions to craft the appropriate one that we felt was, you know, fitting for information blocking. So we were trying, and the way I see it, we worked within congressional intent and cures. Just want to make that clear.
Yeah,
no, I
just disagree with you, because if I read it in from cures, and I've asked others to take, you know, look at it from cures, we come out that it was broader and that there is a separate definition for protected health.
But, okay. I guess I'm just not understanding what is missing from our definition. Like, what does this definition, because you have to, it has to be tied back. Like, you can't have a definition that is just so broad that you can't even describe what it means.
But it already says at the end of the sentence, identify to the, it already has it in there. It already has very clearly, health care to an individual. So it already has it in there.
Yeah, but that could mean literally any piece of information that's anywhere inside the ecosystem of healthcare. And is that what we think it should mean?
I have nothing intelligent to say because I'm sort of lost in the argument.
Well, yeah, but it could be, okay, let's try and make some real world examples. It could mean the parking space number that's been assigned to you at MD Anderson to go and receive your chemotherapy follow-up.
Well, I don't agree with that. I don't
think
that's
related to the provision of care.
No, it's not.
It's not?
It's a parking space.
It's a parking space at MD Anderson about chemotherapy. So it's just that's why we're trying to, there's been an attempt to put some boundaries around it to say, actually, no, it's not absolutely a piece of information that goes on inside the healthcare ecosystem. It's actually the stuff that's specifically to do with the provision of your care to you.
Well, do you understand where that comes in to be problematic? I mean, I thought John, is it John who said it very clearly? And well, I just think it makes it very confusing about honoring the level of care and accountability in the definition. It just reads of entanglement. And I'm sorry, but I always look for plain English. And it's entangled. And when I see entanglement, it makes me wonder, well, why?
You know, I'm all about simplifying these as much as possible. I actually honestly thought this was simple. It's obviously not. The when I look at having gone through exactly the same task elsewhere in other countries, people much smarter than me have gone through this, and they came out to something broadly similar, purely because of all the gotchas of saying, well, what about this kind of impact? No, that's not in scope. Well, okay, then you have to start defining why that's not in scope. I haven't got a ready answer to this. I thought ONC actually gave us a pretty nicely thought out process as about why and how they got to this definition, although it sounds like, Morris, you don't agree with that. So we kind of probably need to go back and throw it again.
No, I want to be really clear. I agree with what ONC did. what everything that Mark has said, I have agreed with. I want to be really clear about that. We were just explaining how we got to the definition. We started with the definition of health information and then looked to HIPAA. And then, you know, he showed you the process and then included non-HIPAA entities because it doesn't, we had to include EPHI and we included that as part of that definition. So I'm on the same page as Mark is. I want to make that very clear.
Okay, I thought I heard you say that the piece after goes or to respect that there might be a reasonable basis to believe the information can be used to identify the individual and is transmitted, blah, blah, blah. I thought you said that actually that you felt that was unhelpful and confusing.
No, I never said that. I hope I never said that.
Okay.
I was like,
I'm very confused now. I never heard Morris say that. So.
Yeah. You guys sound the same to me.
Well,
I apologize.
I want to get it on the record clearly that Mark and I are singing on the same sheet of music.
It's clear.
Okay. I do have a question that I hope you can clarify for everyone is. Is the group including identifiable and non-identifiable information as their recommendation? That's what I'm confused about.
Well, we're not there yet.
Okay. I will parking lot that. I just wanted to. Sorry to get ahead.
Well, Cynthia, are you proposing, Cynthia, that non-identifiable health information? Because I have to tell you.
I didn't propose that. I just felt that the language, and I believe it was John, right, who brought it up, that where it says any information that identifies the individual or with respect to which there's a reasonable basis to believe the information could be used to identify the individual and is transmitted electronic media. I agreed with John on his point that was a flag and that it's confusing and it makes it hard to think about accountability. And I
hang on a second.
I agreed with John, okay? And both of us weighed out on the other side of things we felt that the broader definition.
Wait a minute. Okay. Very important to make sure my point, this is John, by the way. To make sure I make my point clearly, is what I'm suggesting is striking things after the comma, before the word and is. So any information that identifies the individual stays in, absolutely. It's or with respect to which there is reasonable basis to believe the information could be used to identify the individual is pointless and confusing. I know where it comes from. It comes from HIPAA. And it doesn't help eliminate information blocking to include that in the definition of EHI.
Okay. I personally, this is my personal view, not the chair view. My personal view is that actually that constrains and limits the definition too much. And I actually think I agree that it is a... It can confuse, and maybe we need to finesse. However, I do think it limits the definition too much and actually genuinely puts it out of kilter with 21st century cures. So I actually think the intent of Congress was to be more future-looking than that limitation will put in place.
Hey,
That's
Andy,
my Yeah.
So just my interpretation of that clause is that it's a broadening clause. So it says any other information that identifies the individual, so that's pretty clear, identifies the individual, but then or with respect to which there is a reasonable basis to believe the information can be used to identify the individual. Like that, in my opinion, I mean, Morris has more experience with this definition, but it seems to me that that is expanding the breadth, you know, and that seems to be, I know, different views on whether it should be broader.
I agree. Stop talking. I agree with you. I said removing it is overly narrow again. We said.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were saying that.
Okay. My belief, and I'd actually tried to broaden it even further by suggesting instead of using the word can, we use the word could, because we are getting better and smarter about how we use data on a daily basis, and you and I cannot guess what's going to be happening in 6 months' time. However, what I'm hearing from this conversation is actually it's twofold. One is the sentence, as is highlighted on screen, is a bit confusing, and we need to work out how we can simplify that and make that more plain English. Got that. The second, which I'm hearing, and it's a bit of a dichotomy I'm hearing, is remove it because it's too complicated. Got that. But also, we want to have this very broad because we believe that actually Congress, with 21st Century Cures, was trying to broaden the definition of electronic health information or information that should be moved around. And I have to say, Cynthia, I don't understand the point you made where we said that unless it was identifiable, then no, that was obviously out of scope. Because to make price transparency real means that we need to be able to share information routinely that's identifiable to an individual.
Okay. I have the definitions which I can provide for you from HIPAA. And HIPAA has three levels of definitions. And the first is the broadest one that refers to health information. Then in italicized, it talks about individually identifiable health information. And then there's a narrower than that, protected health information. So my understanding of CURES was it was to broaden patient access to their data. And if you look at management of their care and health in a broad sense of the word, the patients are going to want to actually have access to that information from the broader sense rather than the narrowed protected health information sense. And in CURES, it's outlined as broader definition. That's our interpretation.
When you say our interpretation, who are you referring to?
Well, I basically had to consult with different players of legal counsel to just look at where in the law does this come up and where is the CURES Act. So that's how I'm looking at it. I've been doing homework.
Just to address Cynthia's point, I think it's a good one, but I think it sounds like we're on the same page because in our definition, one is electronic protected health information, and then we take another step much broader than electronic protected health information, any other information that identifies the individual, yada, yada. So I think it sounds like we're on the same page. I'm still just not clear what our definition, like how we're narrowing the scope beyond where CURES wanted us to go.
Well, like I gave you examples before, if you want electronic digital health information that helps the patient that's in the provider's care block, that's going to help the patient in the future better manage their care and their comparative and look at pricing and look at comparative, you would want a broader than just to the individual in that moment, in that
you know, because you would want the patient to have a choice for breath.
Why does this limit that, though? Why does that stop that happening?
Because you're saying that it's identifiable to the individual. And there may be health information electronic that's not specific to be identifiable to the individual that can be provided to the individual.
But when we offered to broaden it out, you said, no, that wasn't the intent. You went back to the HIPAA definition, which does constrain it. I'm really confused as to what you're looking for us to have happen here.
Well,
I'm confused as well.
You have gone beyond protected health information, and I just think that going beyond the protective health definition is, you know, you've gone into a narrow field of protected health information, which wasn't consistent with CURES. That's just how we
But it says and. Okay. So you've got the electronic protected health information definition, okay, and so absolutely you can only be going beyond that. You see, it's
okay.
Incremental.
Okay.
It's additive.
Right. Okay.
Well, you're saying you've taken legal advice that says no, that's not the case. So I'm just confused as to how someone is reading this different to how we're reading this.
And well, where do you define electronic? Well, you're saying electronic protected and that's but that's still limiting to the identification of the individual in the and what you have there is the is narrow. So electronic health information is already protected health information is already more limited than individually identifiable.
No, but if you think of it like a Venn diagram, you've got electronic protected health information as defined in HIPAA, and I'll have to rewrite all this, but and we might have to put a reference to HIPAA, okay? And then you've got another circle, which is information that can identify the individual, and you've got another circle, which is information which could potentially be used on the individual, and that means you've got a incremental definition of the world of information which is covered. Am I wrong?
This is Morris. I think the question on the table as I'm hearing it, because I'm looking at all three definitions right now, is I think for the group to answer is, should non-identifiable health, should non-identifiable health information be included in that definition? Because the nexus that is discussed is, in the definition, is any other information that identifies the individual or there's a reasonable basis to believe that. And what I'm hearing is one side saying that it should be broader than that, that information should not include a nexus to identifying the individual. I'm just trying to capture what I think the question on the table is. Should health information be non-identifiable? Is that a fair characterization of your concern?
This is John. I don't even know what it means to block non-identified information. Who are you blocking it from if it's not identified?
I'm just raising the question.
Yeah, I mean, I could give you some use cases for that, which, you know, have a PHI or what we call PII redacted or masked. But if you were to provide that data to a provider organization and they have CPT codes and dates and other things of procedures, and they combine that with their own data, it's with reasonable that they might be able to re-identify the individual. So that's an example of even with identifiable information not provided, depending on what other data they have and how they're combining it, you could re-identify the individuals. That's a concern.
So,
but I understand Cynthia's question and, you know, what she's asking for here. So I'm just providing
that. Thank you for that example, Cheryl. This is John. What you just said is that's a HIPAA concern. But can anybody give me an example where information that could? Never mind. We're going in circles. I'm trying to. Okay. So I'm not aware of any information blocking examples on the planet ever of anybody saying you didn't or weren't willing to disclose the information that could have reasonably been used to identify somebody. It's information that identifies somebody that's being blocked, and we need to fix that. To Morris's question, I don't even know how you know what information has been blocked if it's not identified to somebody.
Although I can't provide a specific use case, I can provide, let's say, a fictional example. There are organizations that have rules that basically limit the ability to share data, even de-identified data, as a result of membership or agreements that take place with those entities. So there may be entities that consider that information blocking because they would like to receive data, de-identify that data, and then reuse it to create a commercial product. And when they're not allowed to do that through a BAA or other arrangement, they might consider that information blocking. Now, the question to this group is, would we consider that information blocking? And that is a real thing that happens today. I deal with it every single day because as a company, we are all the payers are asked to provide data to consultants and vendors who are actually not our vendors or consultants, but our vendors and consultants of our employer groups. So the relationship is already a third party one, but there's constant debate in that arena over what is considered allowable with that data. And most of the payers are in agreement that the data can be shared for the servicing of anything that has to do with the plan. But with the marketability of health data, all of the vendors and consultants are looking at other ways of using that data to create commercial products. And would that then be considered information blocking? The clearinghouses would tell you it does, because in today's world, they want to use data we provide to them through our EDI transactions and be able to remarket that to other areas. And we say, no, that's, you're already covered with an agreement. We're paying you money to do this work. Just because you're a holder of the data and you're transmitting it to us, you shouldn't be able to use it even if you de-identify it. Those are a couple scenarios.
So that was helpful. I would, and this may not be a popular comment, I think if you take in to this regulation non-identified information, you stand the very good chance of destroying any company whose business model is based on the value of data, which is not the intent of 21st Century Cures.
Right. But I think we can't be completely quiet to it either, because the issue that we're all going to be addressing, if it's not clear which side of the line that falls under, clearinghouses have already put a bill in Congress proposed for 3 or 4 times. So, they're one of the forces that we need to deal with. And they believe they should be able to do anything with that data as long as they, under HIPAA, de-identify the data. So I don't know if our patients would like to find out that a third party we've contracted with can do anything they want with their data, even if it's de-identified data. And de-identified according to whom? Part of the problem we're trying to solve in the payer organization today is there's multiple methods. There's the statistical method. And then, of course, there's the HIPAA-prescribed method. Well, in the statistical method, now there's tools that have been created to re-identify statistically de-identified data. So that creates even more danger to any organization that's holding that data. And what if it's a bad actor that gets into it? So
I don't think we can be completely quiet to it.
But this regulation is not to protect data, it's to free data.
I understand that, but we need to free data in a way that we're not allowing unintended consequences to occur with that data, because then we're putting patients' data at risk.
I agree.
I think the other example is pricing. So if a part of the electronic record in the future will be pricing at the point of care where the patient decides where they go for their next step and the opacity is removed, if that price, one could argue that this could be utilized as a tool to not deliver on pricing as part of the electronic record because it's not individually identifiable. So I think, in a patient and physician, we talked about the impact of that in our break, in our session yesterday. And I think, if a patient can get something at a tenth of the price and they can see that price while they're at the point with the physician and deciding the modality of therapy or their care, as it affects their wallet and their wages and their health plan. These are really important decisions because financial health affects physical and mental health as well as burdens to the individual and the family. So I just want to make sure that we're not narrowing this so much so that it can be used as a lack of compliance on delivering the best quality care at the lowest possible price in the future to our American public.
I think, as I listen to the discussion, everything we're talking about is an augmentation of the definition. It's an increase of scope. And I believe what I'm hearing is that whilst we want to make the scope as large as possible, we also need to make it as large as it is sensible. And we are struggling with where to lay that boundary down, because that boundary is not one that's easily ring-fenced by the term identifiable or not. Is that a fair capture of the discussion point?
I think it does.
Yeah, thank you, Andy.
No worries. And just changing gear but coming back to the point, a comment that has been made over the last couple of days is, why on this task force are we actually trying to define or redefine or actually come up with regulatory text? And it's for precisely this reason that we are, because we want the final outcome of this, hopefully with our recommendations, to be easy and simplified and understandable. But also, ONC have done the right thing. They've stood a definition based upon what's gone before. And we, in our role, are saying, actually, yeah, we get what's gone before. We can't be different now. That's why we're having this discussion. And I fully appreciate it's not an easy discussion. But it is. This one is kind of fundamental to absolutely everything else.
Yeah, I agree, Andy. I mean, I know this isn't an easy thing to discuss, and I don't know if Carolyn will be happy with the ending definition, but at least I don't know if you can see what he has up here, but what he has up here, I believe will work.
You believe as to what, sorry?
No, I think this will work.
But okay. So, Cynthia, I hope you can read it. If not, we'll read it out to you. But my struggle with this is, okay, I get it. I actually kind of understand it. How would we remotely enforce it and police it? And my biggest fear for everything that eventuates with these regulations is in 3 years' time, there's a challenge to them, and that creates the value of any of them because there's some kind of says that that was just too broad a scope. It was absolutely, it was impossible. It was actually, the whole thing is now unfeasible.
So is that what you're suggesting, is that what we've come to now is something that's not implementable?
I'm trying to think it through. As soon as we broaden out and say it's not just identifiable, but it's all data product that's derived from identifiable patient data, that I didn't think this one through. It's difficult. It's obviously difficult. Maybe it's a procedural. Maybe it's a procedural enforcement.
Andy, it's John.
Help.
I'm saying, I'm not going to help. Saying much less because I'm not trying to broaden the definition. I'm trying to make it clearer and simpler for that very reason. I apologize that I'm just beating the same drum over and over. Is you're challenging whether this is a regulation? I don't know how this is implemented or enforced or understood. And there were plenty of jokes in the margins of the meeting in the last couple of days about consultants and lawyers getting rich when this comes out. And I think that's because of, we need to be more focused on clarity and simplicity. Look, it comes down to this. I thought, and this is John's opinion only, I thought that this regulation was called out in the need for this regulation was called out in 21st century cures because there was a minority of bad actors or bad situations that kept information from flowing, and we needed a regulation to say that those things were against federal regulation. And it seems to have turned into we need to unleash an ocean of data with no exceptions. And we've just gone way overboard.
So John, I'll just try to answer that. I'm trying not to be a bad consultant in the middle of all this. I think there's a bit more to it than just that. I think there's also a recognition in 21st century cures that the information ecosystem of healthcare is rapidly changing, and that needs to be appropriately accessible, that information does, to all parties for the improvement of patient care. It shouldn't be something which a minority of organisations are able to monetize and capitalise upon. It should be almost a common good.
Sorry, Andy, go ahead. I thought you were done.
No, go on. No, I put in a large comma. You can jump in if you want.
No, you go on. I insist.
Okay. And then the other part of this is that we keep coming back to this price transparency thing. That information is not routinely shared. It's just not. And that's not a minority doing that. That's, you know, the vast majority. And if we are truly going to make a dent into the economic inconsistencies across healthcare, the only way of doing that is to enable transparency of price, and that's done by sharing the pricing information. That's a period point.
Okay. Well, I'll just jump in just because I want to be clear about ONC's intent. And, John, I hear your point. I'm not sure if it was...
I'll give you a hug.
I think you might not... Anyway, John, to your point, I'm not sure if you were... saying, you know, based on the conversations we're having to make it broader or ONT's proposals. But I just want to be really clear that, you know, where we were coming from is that we heard a lot of we heard from stakeholders pretty broadly that there was bad actors and bad actions going on interfering with, access, exchange, and use of electronic health information. And we tried to address that in a fair way. And, you know, that's why we implemented the exceptions that Congress asked us to do. So to your point, that's not our intent to make like an overly broad regulation that catches, you know, even actors who are doing the right thing or trying to promote innovation. That we tried to make it so that we created the right balance. And it's, you know, if we miss the mark, then we want to hear from you, but just want to be clear about ONC's intent.
Thank you.
I didn't mean to kill the conversation.
That's okay. I think all of us are thinking.
Well, I'm trying to avoid reacting to Mark's comments with comments that are more related to exceptions than the topic.
Yeah.
And I have ample opportunity to make my comment through the comment process. But I think there are rampant. There's plenty of. It's just impossible. Mark, you weren't in the room when I did my whack-a-mole analogy.
I was. I liked the whack-a-moles. I thought that was good.
Okay, so let's get the subject in hand. If we're going to simplify this, how do you propose we simplify this whilst also putting in place the boundary, which I think we all acknowledge needs to exist somewhere?
Well, my suggestion would have been to do the definitions like we have and debate them like we are, but to write the rest of the regulation not in terms of exception, but in terms of carefully and completely and thoroughly and broadly describing bad information blocking instead of trying to define the few exceptions that aren't.
Okay, but this is a definition of what is electronic health information within the boundaries of this regulation. So that's an inclusive definition. It's not a definition of what constitutes bad practice. It's not a constitution of act. It's a definition of what is electronic health information. What information and data are we talking about? So that's what we have to define here.
I've already said all I have to say on that.
I'm very confused, John. Are you actually saying we don't even electronic health information in here?
No. I'm not trying to move any. All right, you guys asked a broad question with respect to what we're supposed to be talking about on this call today. I think you're doing the right thing. I may not agree with the definitions, but I'm shutting up because there's consensus being reached. And then the clause that I find confusing is going to remain in for reasons that have been expressed. So I don't have anything else to say about the definitions. The definitions are absolutely necessary. They're the basis of the regulation. You have to define the actors. You have to define electronic health information. Fine. My only comment was that the whole regulation is written in photographic negative, and it should be in photographic positive.
Can I just say I agree with that because I'm confused too, and you know the thing is that we've had so much struggle with it, just us. And then you know I look at the word "could," information could be used. Could is sort of ambiguous because it's sort of like, well, who defines whether it can or could? Like, is it possible, or is there ambiguity with that? And I just, I guess this, I think where I come out is. I think this is such a critical point for real clarity, and then everything else is triggered from this, right, on information blocking. And if we're getting this hung up, think about anybody else who's trying to be held accountable or trying to see how they are complying. So I guess that's where I end up too. So I would support, I think that was you, John. Right? Wasn't that you who just spoke? I agree that I think clarity would be really helpful here.
Okay, let's ratchet this back then. Do we believe that the definition of electronic protected health information that we get from HIPAA is sufficient for the purposes of 21st century cures as a group?
Can you ask that again, Andy?
Okay. It was either a stunned silence or I've walked away from the phone and now I'm going to try and find out what the heck. Do we believe that the definition of electronic protected health information, as defined in HIPAA, is sufficient for what we do in 21st century cures for electronic health information? It should just be the synonymous with each other.
So I'll give you my answer is sufficient, but unnecessarily confusing, but I understand that others don't necessarily agree that it's unnecessarily confusing. You think it's necessarily confusing. Hence, I'll go along and consent.
Okay, well, I don't want to go along. I want a discourse because we're halfway through, and so we've still got runway. And this is almost the most important thing we're talking about in the task force. This regulation, as it's currently drafted, obviously refers back to HIPAA. And right now, it's incorporating by inclusion the definition in HIPAA. John, I think saying that definition is unhelpful and actually we should be seeking to have a new definition.
No. I think it's fine and it's close. I guess I'm surprised, so I've learned that when people don't agree with you, sometimes you might be wrong and you should shut up. I'm surprised that it doesn't resonate with people that if you have one regulation that was designed specifically to protect information from being shared and another to specifically protect to call out information not being shared, that there might be unintended consequences of using the same definition for both purposes.
That's a good point. A very good point.
That's the best thing I heard all day. Thank you for being so clear.
I'm going to hang up now.
No, you dare. I'll be coming to Indianapolis and stopping. But if I take that one step further, if we're trying to unpick the restrictions, and let's be fair, all of us have come across citations of HIPAA as a reason for information blocking. We've come across that time and time again. So if we're going to say, okay, we need to unpick the consequences of HIPAA to prevent information sharing, then wouldn't it be a good starting place to include all the information that's encapsulated by HIPAA inside that?
Okay, Andy, could I just do clarification here? I think I just added in, because I asked my assistant to add into the screen, the three levels of HIPAA definitions. The first HIPAA definition is the broadest, which basically describes health information.
I've got no idea where you've added something. Where have you added something?
Okay, maybe she didn't put it in.
It's up the document. It's above the recommendations line.
She went through the three definitions, levels of definitions.
Who's adding this, Cynthia?
I asked my assistant to add it in. So let me get. We're on a different floor. So let me ask her. I'll text her to do that. But my point is that John's point is very, very, very clear. Protected health information has been misused. And even abused to keep within the system and been problematic. And like you just said, we've all experienced that. So why are we using protected health when we want the broader sense of health, the patient's health information? So I think John said it so clearly, and I'll send you the three levels of definitions within HIPAA, the broader one, and then the very, very narrow one.
I understand that point. I didn't think that was the point John was making. I thought John was suggesting that why are we using a definition that's used as a restrictive definition in something we want to be more inclusive and permissive. I was going to get to the point where I was going to suggest actually it's the definition from HIPAA is a subset of the definition that we appear to be looking to try and address inside cures. I'm not sure whether the three levels inside HIPAA are helpful in this discussion, given that by inclusion, we've already got them all included in the scope inside the current drafting.
And this is Mark. While we have a quiet moment, just to chime in very quickly, I guess I definitely see your point, John. So the things I'm thinking are, one, I still am not clear where our definition misses the mark or what recommendations this group could make. And I'm sure there are some, you know.
I have a very clear suggestion that I think was deflected for reason by others. Is I think the definition in the reg is pretty good, with the exception that after the comma, the phrase that was inserted into HIPAA so that people couldn't, it was closing a loophole in saying we're going to protect additional information by saying information that could reasonably be believed to identify the individual. We're going to protect that information too, so you can't cheat when we're telling you stuff you cannot share. So if we were to use this definition to tell people what they must share, I think that phrase is unnecessary and confusing. Others disagree, and that's okay, so I won't make that point a third time.
I'll let others talk to that point, and you all can decide that. My other point about HIPAA, and I'm not claiming to be a HIPAA expert. Morris is the HIPAA expert on the team, but the way I think about it is, we do make a clear distinction, like you said, that HIPAA's goals are different than our goals, and the conduct that we're talking about should be viewed differently. I guess my point is, I don't know that there's a de facto, it shouldn't be understood that the definition of health information within HIPAA couldn't be used for our purposes, just because the concept we're talking about in HIPAA is differently, you know, regulated.
Okay, let's take that. And Andy, here would be maybe another intelligent comment from Kansky. Then we should absolutely use the definition as verbatim from HIPAA, so that we can tell the entire industry the definition of electronic health information is as defined in HIPAA, and then every lawyer on the planet doesn't have to get paid for reinterpreting it, and the industry knows what we mean. That will help.
And I'll just pull up the diagram so we can show, you know, kind of what we added there, just so we're all on the same page. Because from our perspective, these step three changes are significant and necessary. So that's just ONC's position.
So this is Morris. I want to be really clear about just clarifying. Going back to the HIPAA world. So HIPAA, as we all know, only applies to four basic entities. There's covered entities, which are healthcare providers, healthcare clearinghouses, and health plans. And then it applies to their business associates. So when you say we're going to apply the HIPAA definition, the HIPAA definition only applies to those entities. As we all know, in cures, and particularly the information blocking, HIPAA would not necessarily apply to a health information technology developer, exchange, or network, unless they're a business associate. And so,
right, but now you've jumped to actors.
Right, but what here's my point. When you say we're going to apply the HIPAA definition, I just want to clarify that the HIPAA definition only applies to those, by statute, only applies to those entities.
Yeah, I'm not saying
Morris, is that right? HIPAA, you're the expert, but HIPAA applies to only those entities. The actual definition, it's just a definition of scope, in terms of data scope,
right,
not of actor scope.
Right, but the regulation only applies to those entities. I just wanted to clarify. I just want to make that clear. And so you can use some of the same language, but I just wanted to clarify that if you lay it out, if you want to, what we tried to do is have the definition of electronic protected health information, we use that type of language, and we used it for non-HIPAA entities. I'm just trying to give you some context without hopefully not confusing everyone.
And just one more point to put a finer point. I agree with what Morris said. I think, John, in essence, what we're doing, my read, is kind of what you're asking us to do. We're using established law, but understanding that it's not, you know, apples to apples what we're doing and what they did. So we tweaked it, as we show in step three. So even if maybe the end result isn't exactly what the way you want it to be, I think our approach is generally what you're asking us to do.
Okay. So let's take those three points individually to make sure I understand. The first one does not seem to be a change to the definition of EHI. EHI may be provided directly from an individual or from technology that the individual has elected to use. That doesn't seem to be a change to the definition of electronic health information.
I just want to let you know, this is Michael Lipinski. I joined the call, and I don't want to interrupt your dialogue here, but I did want to note that I think it's the intent of ONC to provide a presentation on information blocking tomorrow to the whole task force. Wanted to confirm that. So I know this, you guys broken it down into work groups, and we will focus primarily in that presentation on all the definitions that we've put forth. So it's good that you guys are talking about it, but I wanted to know that you know we're going to let the broader
okay, so just as that sidebar, Michael, that will be a presentation. Mm-hmm. Limited Q&A, but not discussion. And the Q&A will be focused upon understanding the where's and the why's, not litigating mm-hmm. out what it should really be. This work group is litigating what it should really be, because we just want to understand how you got here.
I just wanted awareness on that. And it is new, to that point that was just asked. That part is new to the definition. I joined late. Did you show them the full definition itself at all? The health information definition from Public Health Service Act, which is a cross-reference from the Cures, which is the basis of the HIPAA.
Well, I have the slide up. I haven't pulled up the definition, but I can do that.
Okay.
I have that slide.
Back to you. If anybody has any questions, I'll try to jump in and answer them.
So, John, I'm going to put you on the spotlight. Ignore all the words which are currently in the regulation. Ignore them all. What do you think the definition of EHI should be? John, are you still there?
Oh, sorry. I've been talking for like 20 seconds.
I was putting it down to you being very, very thoughtful.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was just yammering. Maybe I'll do it better the second time. I'm actually trying to argue that the definition that we have is pretty good and shouldn't change. So to answer your question, I think electronic health information means protected health information, electronic protected health information as defined in HIPAA is a pretty good start. We could probably stop there, but others would disagree. Any other information that identifies the individual and relates to their past, present, or future health condition, maybe I would stop there. It's just so much simpler.
Well, if you stop there, then you are not honoring the HIPAA definition, which has a whole second part to it, where health information
I'm just answering the question Andy asked me.
That's fine. And now, so Cynthia, same question. where do you think we should go? It sounds like you'd like to build upon the excellent start that John made.
I'm just going to put in the definitions, so we have the definitions, and then you guys can take a look at that. I'm going to put it in under the bottom of EHI.
I'm sorry, what are we supposed to be looking at now, Cynthia?
I was just putting in the definitions from the HIPAA just so people have them. And then,
yeah, where are you putting them in?
I guess under the EHI and the talking point. Let's see, right under our 171.102 at the bottom of.
Nope, there's nothing gone in there.
It's at the bottom of all of our. I'm trying to get my Wi-Fi to work here. Hang on. Okay, just move on to another person because I'm just trying to get the Wi-Fi to get it in.
Okay. Have you got thoughts here? Or have you checked out in disgust at the level of discourse this has caused? Cheryl?
I am still looking at it. I tend to agree with making it simpler rather than more complicated, but I don't know where Cynthia's references are coming from. So, I mean, it does say in the definition of health information on HIPAA relates to the past, present, or future, but I don't know if we should be restating what's already in HIPAA, because I do think that that's what partially is confusing it. So if we're basically stating that we are using the definition, because of course what's defined in HIPAA is health information, not electronic health information, and so thereby is a difference. But if we're trying to say that electronically transmitting health information as defined by HIPAA, then I think that's the way we should do it versus giving a new definition or redefining it. What I've seen already is that we are saying that it's based on what was defined under Cures Act. But when I look at the Cures Act, I don't really see the definition outright that we're talking about. I see it referred to in a lot of places, but I actually couldn't pull up the definition itself. And that's, you know, unfortunately what I'm trying to do here in the background, because before I make I do believe that there is going to be a lot of lawyers making money off of this. And to me, as clear as we can be, that doesn't create another chasm for disagreement is what we need to do. And I'm not sure we're there yet.
I agree, we're definitely not there yet. And I've been through the 21st Century Cures trying to come up with my personal position as well as one to help the group with. I think there's 23 separate references to electronic health information in Cures, and every single one of them is subtly different in the utility. So it's difficult to come up with a solid definition of what it is that's not got multiple faces, because there's multiple ways it gets used. I must confess, if we circle around the HIPAA definition, let's just say we said, okay, it's the HIPAA definition. That's what we're going to go forward. That gives us a scope. Notwithstanding Morris's comment that HIPAA has an applicability constriction to just certain actors, but let's just say we said, okay, it's this definition of data across every actor we can think of, okay? I'm sitting here going to myself, doesn't that not address the price transparency component that all of us believe is key? I believe it's probably the simplest, but it's not.
It's statutes in 96, and I think ONC did a good job to refer to the health information as it's stated in the law. So the question that I have, and you know, maybe it's an ask of ONC because, you know, ONC is looking at this, and you know, the question is, as you look at it, are you, the broad sense, then there's individual identified, then there's protected. And if you're going to get information to the patient, if the goal is to get the patient information and inform, wouldn't you want to, you know, like Andy's question on price transparency, I think it's not only price transparency. There's other supportive health management information that might not just be unique to the individual. So I guess I would push to say, okay, what is the best way with the least confusion and honoring existing law, which clearly defined in a very well way that's been functional, health information?
Yeah, by price transparency, I was trying to come up with a concept which all of us could agree upon should be. That was all.
Well, I guess I'd like to just, you know, look to ONC also to consider that.
But ONC, okay, so the purpose of this task force and the purpose of this work group of this task force is to provide ONC with our recommendation, not to re-express ONC's own deliberations back at them. And if actually what we're going to say is, look, we agree with ONC, then we should just say we agree with it.
Yeah, and from ONC's perspective, the definition that we put out there, it's our position that that is a clear definition that represents, you know, an understanding of using other laws, but also tweaking it a bit to make it fit for the information blocking context. So our position is that this is the definition we want to move forward with, but we welcome recommendations and suggestions.
And this is Mike real quick. Mike Lipinski, ONC. So when we talk about using other laws, we just need to be clear about a little bit about how the legislative practice works, and then I won't spend time today talking about like canons of statutory interpretation and so forth. I'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow. But the Cures Act, particularly related to this, amends the Public Health Service Act, just like the High Tech Act amended the Public Health Service Act. So that definition of health information from where we started, as we describe it in the rule, is in the Public Health Service Act. It is the same, it's to be a cross-reference to the Social Security Act. So we, you know, start with taking the definition that's already in the Act. And we have, again, so while it's not in the specifically in the Cures Act actually says, if you read the instructions in it, amend the Public Health Service Act to add these provisions, such as information blocking. So we then go through the definitions that are already in that Act that is being amended. So that's how we started with health information. Obviously, there isn't a definition of electronic health information. So we look to how would we best interpret it electronic. So where has that been done before? HIPAA has done that before, right? So, or at least I should say OCR via their interpretations for the privacy and security rules. So that's where we went to next in terms of, you know, finding that definition of electronic media. But that definition of health information is the same basis for HIPAA. So we haven't really altered it other than the ways we've pointed out, which is our interpretation of payment information, including price information in that, making that clear that that is part of our reading of the statute about future and payment. And then we've added individuals. So if you had that full definition up, it talks about where the information comes from. I don't have it up in front of me right now, but like from employers, you know, providers in exchange, and we want to make clear that the information can come from individuals and still be considered EHI. So that's the reason why we focused on that as well. And then the other piece that is for consistency, right? Because as I think I heard a lot of you already comment on, you know, where would the market be and make sure that they understand this and there isn't confusion between definitions. We focused and or at least proposed that de-identified information would not be considered EHI. However, that's, again, as all parts of the proposal up for public comment. So we just wanted to try to draw attention to the pieces that were maybe unique and different to stakeholders with our rulemaking. I'll stop there.
Thanks for that, Mike. And having said you weren't going to do what you weren't going to do, you did. So that's okay. It was helpful. Thank you. Team, so Cheryl, Cynthia, John, where do you want to go? Where do you think we can go at this point? If we say nothing and are mute on this, then what ONC has drafted, you know, as far as we're concerned, will be standing. It sounds like we want to make a modification, and the consensus of this group is to propose some modifications. John, saying your piece and stopping talking. No, I think actually there's a shared feeling across the three of you that we do want to make some changes. So we're gonna need to, rather than just saying we don't like it, we're gonna have to come up with something we do like.
Well, Andy, what I try to describe the situation is, I think, and I don't want to speak for others, but I think I would go for as simple as possible to HIPAA as possible, similar as possible to HIPAA, because the industry understands what that is and will know how to apply the definition. That would be choice B. Choice A is simplify it by taking out ambiguous, confusing phrases so that it would still be identifiable by the industry. But I understand that others have concerns that would lose important meaning or leave out information that isn't intended to be left out. That's not my view, but that's okay. And then I hear others who I would think want it to pull it in a different direction, which is broader or vaguer, so as to not miss anything, no way, no how. And that's not an opinion that I share. So I would go with simpler than it is proposed, or as similar to HIPAA as possible.
Yeah, I would vote for as similar to HIPAA as possible, because for clarity purposes, in terms of implementation and down the road in terms of disagreements, I think that's going to end up being something that's more easily implementable.
And for clarity purposes, does that mean that we need to regurgitate the HIPAA definition here, because there is a group of entities that haven't got exposure to HIPAA hitherto, and rather than sending them off to go and look in another bit of legislation and potentially get that right or wrong, because frankly, the outcome we want from this is that everyone gets it and everyone does it, not that we set up a whole mechanism for going and, you know, egregious lawyers and consulting fees, which I think is where John was going. So do we actually take the HIPAA definition and restate it here?
To the extent that we can do it by reference, which I think there's a degree already in there.
It's statute. We can cut and paste it.
Yeah, I agree. I like that suggestion.
Okay. And so that first four words in point one would actually become whatever the HIPAA definition is. How do you guys think we should handle those other information types that are not covered by? An example of which would be price transparency.
And I just pulled the slide up again that shows the three bullets of those three refinements that we made.
Mark, does that second bullet not basically say that de-identified information as defined in HIPAA is excluded?
Sorry, there were some negatives in there. I think what we're saying is EHI. Mike, do you want to go ahead?
I think
or someone else?
Someone said yes. And I say, yeah, I agree. That's what it says, right?
Yeah, I almost think we should take that out because when you reference the, go back to that reference anyway, it's basically restating what we've already stated. So I think EHI should be the first and the third bullets under number three, but not necessarily the second bullet, because I think that becomes problematic even from a patient perspective. They don't know what that means. And likened to them, that would mean, what if, any wearable or whatever that you provide data to takes your data and then develops, information related to outcomes, or I know there's one service that's actually taking records, financial records, and then matching them with other activities that a person performs to determine whether or not they're a likely potential risk for opioid use. None of the records they're gathering have anything to do with their health situation. It has to do with their online behavior. So that is data that would be identifiable, but if you were to take the identifiable data out of it and say, oh, all the people with these behaviors are going to be more likely to be in this risk model, then you've got people who are going to be judged by something that they don't know that they've actually contributed to. And they have no knowledge that the data is being used that way. So I don't know if this is helpful to them here.
Okay, so I just want to draw a distinction between data which is non-identifiable and never has been, and data which has been de-identified because it once was.
Right, but I just don't think it helps clarify what we're saying here. So to me, I'm trying to look through the different use cases and say, does that second bullet help to clarify, or does it actually just make it more confusing?
Okay, so that second bullet point, okay, it says EHI does not include health information that has been de-identified, says to me, okay, in that bullet point, EHI does not include data that was once identifiable and has now not been, okay, because it's had the identifier removed. And that hasn't actually made it distinctly into the draft yet. I can't see where that was actually in the original regulatory text, let alone our updates.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is whether we think that EHI should include data which was once identifiable and is now not because it has been de-identified. That's a question. And the second question is whether EHI should include health information that was never identifiable.
No,
yes,
and no.
Yeah, that's where, to me, you're getting into the area that's going to require, years of attorneys to fight out. I mean, on the basis of identifiable data that's been de-identified, again, if it's de-identified under HIPAA, even under the rule that's referenced on number two, if that data can be combined with other data, it can be re-identified. So,
okay, but the point is that data was once identifiable. So we could actually say EHI it also includes information which was once identifiable. We could say that.
Right, which that to was, me, I think, right, that actually, but again, it may then create, all I'm saying is I agree with that, but then it creates this gray area that's then going to result in a lot of legal disagreements.
Well, and as soon as you begin applying the definition of EHI as per the purpose of the regulation, I think you've reached into the fringes of the intent and you've dramatically made the compliance and enforcement more difficult.
I my personal position is I agree. As your chair, I'm trying to come to some description. So, taking that on board, how do we are going to support ambitions around improved management of the healthcare ecosystem through things like price transparency with this definition?
Well, if the definition already includes related to the past, present, or future health condition or past, present, future payment, so that then are we not already being helpful?
Only where that data is identifiable to the explicit individual.
Yeah,
not
and that's
where
the problem.
Not where that information, well, you're saying that we'll be transparent about price for you and you only. We're not saying we'll be transparent about the price about what the cost of, I don't know, the average surgery X is, the average surgery Y. No, we're not going to be transparent about that. We're only going to be transparent about you.
Okay, well, my personal opinion...
Or other prices. There may be not just averages, there may be other prices or competitive prices.
Yeah, I understand where you're going now, because you're basically saying if we leave it the way it is, then they'll only be able to see what specifically applies to them and how do we know it's going to apply to them in the future, because it hasn't happened yet. So we're going to what happens with, you know, sort of prospective type things models that they may fit into.
And it would fall very clearly into the infeasibility exception to say, well, it's unfeasible for me to share with you what your future healthcare costs might be. It explains everything about your future healthcare disposition. And we don't want that, do we? That's the point.
I guess if it was easy, they would be asking for us to provide input. So this is why we're here. Not to state the obvious, but, you know, in that...
And you think you got appointed to high tech for an easy life? No.
Yeah. I do then think we need to address the data, the de-identified data or data that is not personally identified as well, because I agree with you, and that's the point I think Cynthia has been making all morning, is that, you know, in order to get the pricing information in here, they're not necessarily specific to a person in its raw form until you apply what the potential, you know, impacts to that person would be. So I do think we need to identify that maybe what it means, though, is that electronic health information is comprised of maybe the electronic health information itself shouldn't be expanded, but maybe it means that there should be electronic health information that's specific to a patient, so that provides more clarity. And then there's electronic health something else that applies to all of that gray stuff.
Okay, you're right. Let's just part this and all of us have a think whilst we listen to our public comments. So can we open up the lines for public comment, please?
Operator, can you open the line?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Thank you. Any comment in the queue at this
time? Not at this time.
Okay, thanks. Cheryl, picking up on your points there, you know, I'm wondering whether actually in this definition we should also be looking at the purpose the data is going to be put to as kind of that lever that says whether, you know, whether it falls inside or outside. And it gets difficult when you have a definition that data might be handled differently depending upon the purpose. It's been done, but it is tricky.
Right. So, I mean, I liken it to something that we, you know, do within Anthem, where we say, okay, there's data that we use that runs our systems, and then there's data that we use that helps inform how we behave in terms of how we implement those systems. So maybe we need health information technology to be specific to the individual's information, and then we have health information whatever, and I don't know the proper word for it yet, that represents all the other stuff, which potentially could, you know, be more metadata, if you will, or something, but gets to, you know, the payment information and the pricing information, because to that you need to know, you know, the person, the group, the plan that they've signed up for, what provider network they might have been assigned to, and all of that kind of stuff, which is, yes, health information, but not contained in a health record, if you will. It's separated from that. So maybe we need something that is what we're talking about that governs all of that, but it's not necessarily going to fall under the definition of electronic health information.
I'm with you. I've already had the feedback. I got it on Tuesday when someone had read the EHI. They were like, well, this can refer to fax as well. In fact, it can refer to, you know, electronic transmittal. It can be many, many different things beyond what we actually are hoping it does mean. So,
yeah,
keep our thinking hats on. Any public comment?
Andy? Oops.
Operator?
There are no comments in the queue at this time.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, John, your introduction.
Yeah, sorry. So trying to get back to, I think, the question you were asking, I had a little think, as you suggested, and here's my attempt at a concise point I'd like to make. So lack of price transparency is a problem, and information blocking is a problem. However, I don't think the information blocking reg is the correct regulation to wholly solve price transparency. But requiring the sharing of identified pricing information will go a long way. Hence, the definition of including pricing information but requiring it to be identified, I think, is reasonable and constructive.
Okay, thanks, John.
Sounds good.
I think.
Okay, guys, we're coming to the last 5 minutes. I think we all need, all of us have to do some homework. We have to come up with proposed verbiage that we can discuss and throw rocks at on our next call around us. Because it is fundamental, and we can't just discuss the points and do our thinking on the phone. We have to do our thinking in our own time as well. Is that okay?
Yes.
The specific topic again, Andy, was what? I'm sorry, I missed it.
I was just saying, I as a chair need everyone to go and think about this time before the next call. And myself and Mark and Mike, before the next call, some proposed verbiage which you think captures and is comfortable with what we need to do inside this definition. And I'm asking that because we can't carry on thinking about this whilst we are discussing it as well. We need to have a position and discuss our positions as opposed to, you know, be doing that joined up thinking in the 2 hours we have, because otherwise we're not going to get to the end of all this. And I think I heard someone say, yes, we can do that.
Yes.
Yes.
We can do that, Andy. We can do our homework and happy to oblige. Thank you, Andy.
I'm sorry, but I don't like giving people homework, trust me. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other closing comments? The ONC guys have been remarkably quiet for the last 30 minutes. Remarkably so.
No, I don't have anything else. I think you made some really good suggestions that it'll be helpful to have, you know, some markups or clear ideas for the next conversation.
And I had said I would promise to be quiet, and I was called out on that. So I will be quiet. And tomorrow, I guess I get my few minutes to talk about
well,
the rule.
Okay,
guys. So
that
would be helpful.
Hang on a second. Tomorrow's call, okay, what I've asked team is that ONC presents their background thinking behind just the regulations that we're considering. Not everything, just this is what we were thinking about as we came up with this.
You can open up your medical bills there, Martin.
Yeah, well, I beg your pardon? Okay, just what they were seeking to achieve.
Can you show them the video from Washington?
Is somebody on mute or not on mute?
Yeah, I think somebody's not on mute.
Yeah, interesting. It's always interesting to hear the inner workings, isn't it? What's really going on? Okay, guys, thank you ever so much. It's top of the hour. Speak to you shortly, but I look forward to your emails in the next 24 hours.
All right, thank you, everyone.
Thank you,
okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.